it's impacting that individual. It's impacting their family. It's giving them a better life, quite frankly. And as DuPage County, that's a big part of what we as a community pride ourselves on.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hey, Chicagoland. Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage, and your host for today's podcast. Today, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, the workforce. To help me understand the latest employment trends, I'm pleased to welcome two special guests and two of my dear friends. First is Lisa Shavak, Executive Director of WorkNet DuPage and the WorkNet DuPage Career Center. For those of you who don't know, WorkNet helps train talent and connect good workers with great opportunities at local businesses. Our other guest today is Kristen Sheffield, Executive Director of Parents Alliance Employment Project. Kristen's organization helps improve the quality of life for people with disabilities through individualized employment opportunities. They offer training programs, match candidates to job openings, and help individuals build skills through paid work experiences. Lisa, Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Greg.
Well, no, it's really my pleasure to sit with you guys today and talk about some of the trends and some of the issues that you're seeing in workforce and talk about the great work that you do and how we can help the DuPage business community through your efforts. Kristen, I want to start with you. Let's talk about Parents Alliance and how you're helping close the employment gap in DuPage County. What's kind of the day-to-day world like at Parents Alliance these days?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges that the business community has right now is recruiting and retaining a talented workforce. And Parents Alliance Employment Projects partners with local businesses to identify some of those high turnover positions that maybe businesses are spending a lot of money on. We all know that recruitment takes a lot of time. Training takes a lot of time. And so Parents Alliance Employment Project, we have a qualified pool of candidates that we can match to the job openings that employers have.
So Kristen, your work is primarily focused on people with disabilities and how they can help businesses. Expand on that a little bit more. What are you typically seeing in terms of neurodiverse issues, physical disabilities? What's the breadth and the scope of the folks that you're kind of focused on?
Yeah, I think we offer a lot of benefits to hiring individuals with disabilities. I think once an employer hires an individual with a disability, they begin to see the benefits that come along with that. One of the things that our employers always tell us is that they are hyper-focused. When they come in to do a job, they are focused to do that job. They are reliable. They are dependable. They work very hard to get to where they are in a supportive environment, and they don't want to leave that environment. And so that is why they are dependable. One of the other benefits that I want to talk about is the spending power among people with disabilities and the consumers. The disability community has over a $500 spending power that they are willing to give to businesses that hire people with disabilities. So I think once we start to work with those businesses and identify those high turnover positions and what those skills are in those turnover positions, we have individuals that are going through training programs and learning those skills so that by the time comes, we have a pipeline of individuals and qualified job seekers that can meet the needs of our businesses and those job openings.
Yeah, it's just such cool work. It's just, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I've had the opportunity to attend several of your events. And when you see not only the reaction in the employee, the folks with the disability, when they have the opportunity for work and how rewarding that is, but from a pragmatic perspective, what the business actually gets out of it in terms of a dedicated employee who comes to work every day, who really loves getting up in the morning and going to work and is really super dedicated. What do you hear from your employers in terms of what that means just from retention and recruitment and, quite frankly, not having to worry about that position?
Mm-hmm. It saves them time and money. Honestly, one of the things that I would like to share is that our agency, by partnering with our agency, the businesses also get our expertise. So I have staff who are educated and can go into a business and talk to them about hiring people with disabilities and acclimating them to the culture within that business. So it's saving them time and money. When they go to post a job, after they've hired an individual with a disability, 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, hey, I have a job opening. Do you have anyone for me? And then we're able to refer someone to them. One of the things I also want to talk about is that this is something that's not, just get anyone into any old job. These individuals with disabilities have those skills, and we want to make sure it's a good job match for that business. Otherwise, we would not put them into that job.
And this is kind of on the micro level. And Lisa, don't fret. We'll get to some of the macro trends in employment. But just to follow up on that, what is the is it like a one-to-one mentor relationship when I, as a business, decide to hire someone from your organization or someone with a disability? It's not just, here's your employee, good luck. You're responsible for managing that employee. You're responsible for making sure that employee gets to work every day. You guys put some resources behind that. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. You are 100% correct in saying that we pride ourselves on providing that individualized service, not only to the individual with a disability and getting them acclimated to the job, but also providing that support to the employer. We want to make sure that it's a good job match and that the supports are in place. So we do have staff that are there 100% of the time, helping the individual identify the tasks that they can and can't do. And then our staff gets creative and we come up with different ways, putting accommodations in place. And really, a lot of times it's just a visual schedule, right? Helping them identify their task and being able to do that. What our staff does is we want to get to the level of independence. So what that looks like is our staff is there 100% of the time. And however long it takes, we're there 80%, 60%. We basically fade ourselves away until that person is 100% independent on the job before we walk away and we make sure all of those supports are in place.
I could talk about it all day. I really could, because again, having experienced it, having talked to some employers who have utilized your services, many of whom are located here in DuPage County, it's really so rewarding to see it work for business, which leads to the natural segue about, Lisa, you and I have spoken probably more than you care to speak about with me on the topic of workforce development and labor in DuPage County. I've said it a million times that the single biggest hurdle that we have in terms of getting deals done and organic growth for businesses in DuPage County is the labor force and the workforce. Talk a little bit about, from your perspective, where you see those challenges right now, and what are some of the things that WorkNet is doing to address what is clearly a gap. There's no other way of saying it, that labor and the labor force writ large just is having a difficult time keeping up with the growth in the economy and in industry in general here in DuPage and throughout the United States.
You know, it really varies. First off, I believe that the workforce challenges are not uniform across industries. So with that being said, you know, you have some industries that routinely have the same gaps over and over. And then you have other industries where there's not as much demand right now. We've heard the term coined rich session, meaning individuals that have certain backgrounds, you know, a lot of your kind of software engineers, as an example. We know that mass layoffs that have occurred have hit the technology sector, and there perhaps are fewer job openings there, which is somewhat counterintuitive because we know that technology is an area that everyone kind of thinks this is the wave, right? And everybody needs this tech training. we've seen that that's kind of been the sector over the past few years that's been hit harder with layoffs. Where a lot of the demand comes in are jobs that are more hands-on, something that can't really be automated, and oftentimes, unfortunately, positions that sometimes pay a lower wage, which exacerbates the issue, makes it harder to fill those positions. So sector by sector, the workforce challenges look different. I would say the unifying factor is that everybody seems to at least feel the perception is there that there's not enough talent. And I think part of that also comes in with the talent that is there that people are bringing on board doesn't meet expectations in some way, shape, or form. This would be kind of another one of those, I'll say, across the board, across all industry sectors, whether you call them soft skills, work ethic, quote unquote, professional skills, kind of general skills, whether that is somebody working in, let's say, a hotel, somebody working in a manufacturing company, somebody working reporting to a corporate headquarters. That is a pattern that we're hearing, that people don't have things like critical thinking skills, the ability to show up regularly and the dedication to show up on time. That's a tricky issue for workforce development, right? Because as you know, Greg, part of what the big part of what we do at WorkNet DuPage is we administer the federally funded Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act programs. The kind of centerpiece of that is funding people for vocational occupational training. How do you train somebody on work ethic or, you know, critical thinking skills, things of that nature? It's not, there's no real certificate program out there for that. But I would say that that kind of speaks to the challenges in some regards where there's higher volumes of jobs open. A lot of times it could be because those are kind of stepping stone jobs or they're lower paying. And then a lot of times when you have these jobs that everybody wants, it's a matter of the employer not being satisfied with what they're perceiving that candidate bringing to the table.
Sure. So you brought it up. So let's hit it head on. Let's address this right at the onset. Federal funding. These are pass-through dollars that are coming from the federal government through the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
Correct. From the Federal Department of Labor.
And then on down to your organization where the resources are deployed to provide the services that you guys are doing. There's been a lot of talk in the media recently about the freeze in federal funds and aid programs and grants. What are you worried about, or are you not worried, or what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And what's it looking like 6 months from now, a year from now?
So there's been a lot of conflicting messages that have come through. We started off this past Tuesday with the freeze, and then the next day it was rescinded. And then it was brought forth that it was still in effect, but it was rescinded. So we're in a waiting game right now. There are lawsuits that are going to be working their way through the court system. I would like to think that the programs, the history of workforce development programming in this country, which goes back to at least the 1950s in some iteration, has always been a bipartisan supported concept. Even in the times when there's been extreme polarization in Congress, the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and the preceding legislation has always passed by a vast, vast, vast majority, huge numbers that you don't usually see. So I would like to think that investing in not only DuPage County's workforce, but of course, you know, the national American workforce would continue to be in some way, shape, or form something that would be supported. We see the impact it has on individuals, residents, just in DuPage County. We hear the stories. We know the long-lasting positive impacts that this has on people's livelihood. We also know that it benefits our local business community greatly in a number of ways. So obviously, I'm biased to these programs, having been a 20-plus years career-long workforce development professional. But I truly believe, taking all politics out of it, that it is a non-political issue. It's just a smart investment.
Well, let's hope it turns out positively for not only your organization, but more importantly, I think, for the people that avail themselves of your services.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about that, because I think there is another, maybe a little bit of a myth around WorkNet. Your organization goes far beyond an income threshold or an income ceiling, and it goes far beyond learning how to turn on a computer to things like certifications and career paths and moving forward?
Absolutely. When I stepped into the role of director for WorkNet DuPage, I coined the term from entry level to executive to try to dispel some of that misperception that is out there. Certainly, there is a place for individuals that maybe are income qualified or, you know, what have you. There's actually a particular grant that we have that focuses primarily on that segment of our local community members here. We also have grant funding for people who were laid off from their jobs. We work with high-level executives that come through that don't even need an occupational training program. Quite frankly, they have the degrees and the experience. What they need is to be taught how to successfully job search. And that is no small feat nowadays. The job search has changed vastly from 5 years ago, quite frankly. So the range of services that we provide, it really depends on the individual that comes through the door, what their need is, what their primary hurdles are to landing that job. But it could be everybody from an individual experiencing homelessness or somebody who was recently, you know, released from the DuPage County Jail to individuals with disabilities, to women who took a career break, who haven't worked in 10 plus years, but who perhaps had a career prior, to high-level executives. It's across the board what we do.
Yeah. And you mentioned the women who maybe took some time off to do the most important job, stay home and raise children, and whether that's moms or dads, that's a really exciting program.
Yeah, so this really fits in with the larger workforce issue, right, of there not being enough people, or at least that perception is there, that there's not enough people to fill all these jobs. And so I've been calling it with my team an all hands on deck approach. Everybody needs to get in the game. Everybody needs to contribute to the workforce. And one of those populations was, listen, a lot of times women or men take a break for an extended period of time, right? We know that that happens. And they perhaps had a bachelor's degree, had a career previously. They have so much to contribute to the workforce at this time of high demand. So what we did was design a program around this. We first kind of put out some feelers to make sure that, is this actually a need or are we just kind of thinking this up? And we very quickly got the response via social media, like, this is exactly what I need. This is the situation that I'm in. So we designed a series of three workshops. We executed it first 2 years ago, and then we did this past year as well. In September, called it Back to School, Back to Work, meaning your kids are old enough to be in school full time. This might be the time when you're looking to return to work. We timed it up with the start of the school year. It has been highly successful in the sense that it's been well attended. The energy in that room is so positive. The participants walk out really feeling uplifted and confident about trying to re-enter the workforce, about learning how to job search. They meet and hear from panelists that are employers at those events. We identified employers that have so-called family-friendly policies, maybe some more flexibility.
You mentioned school districts. We're here being hosted again by our great friends at College of DuPage. We can't do these kinds of things and lead these kinds of initiatives without partners. One of the struggles that we've always had is making sure that our partners are as committed to our endeavors as we are right now. College of DuPage is a fantastic example of somebody who has always been committed and is always looking through, whether it's Project Higher Ed or any of their work-based learning initiatives, to making sure that we advance these causes. Who are some of the partners that you all work with to make sure that our programs not only are sustainable, but they're scalable and that we can continue to grow them into the future?
I think the school districts for us, they have been a great partner in DuPage County. Each school district has a transition program in which individuals with disabilities between the ages of 18 to 23 are going through those independent living skills and vocational Programming is always a part of that. So they are constantly reaching out to Parents Alliance Employment Project to come in and do some job readiness with them. They're really preparing those individuals with disabilities before they are referred to an agency like us. We also partner very closely with LISA's entity, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, for funding for our programs. I would like to mention Chamber 630. We are constantly involved in networking opportunities just to get that awareness and education out there to the business partners about our services that we can offer to them when it comes to building the workforce of people with disabilities within their own companies as well. Right now, we have a ton of business partners that are on board with us. I'd like to give a shout out to Northwestern Medicine. They actually are a business host site in which they offer our participants to go in and complete internships throughout different departments within the hospital. It's a year-long program. The individuals are there from 7:30 to 2:30, and they are getting exposure to different industries within the hospital. And we have multiple partners that business partners that hire our individuals with disabilities. So I think it takes a lot of different partners at the table, like you said, Greg. And we're just constantly out there, educating and spreading the word of the benefits of hiring an individual with a disability.
And the program that Kristen just referenced, Project Search, is a great example. You know, that program that began, that Kristen's team started with Northwestern Medicine, is now being also conducted with my counterparts throughout the Chicago region in how many other areas, Kristen?
We are in Kane, Kendall, DeKalb County, and McHenry County as well now.
So, and I know that there have been inquiries from others also because of the success that we've had here in DuPage with that. I think it's such an outstanding success story. The fact that we work so closely regionally really allows us to take a regional approach, scale. You know what I'm teeing up here, Greg. Scale projects up, think more strategically.
Recognize that 60% of workers in the region cross a county border to get to their place of employment, and that DuPage workers work in Cook, and Cook workforce development efforts have to keep an eye on DuPage because at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is make sure that there's opportunities to match people with opportunities because it's not a vacuum and there is no wall that separates DuPage from Cook. And Lisa, you and I have talked about the Greater Chicagoland Economic Partnership and long time coming of economic development organizations working as a region. And I'm proud that we've now brought workforce into those discussions. We need to do more. We need to integrate it even further. Mm-hmm. But the intersection of economic development and workforce development are now more intertwined than ever before. We need to be.
100%. It's two sides of the same coin. And if the coin is defined as boosting the economy of a region, of really attracting businesses, of being strategic about that, and of being able to fill those businesses up with the talent that they need, your team, GSEP, and my team, the Workforce Partners of Metro Chicago, the more integration that happens there, the more successful we'll be as a region. And you mentioned that there's no walls between these counties. So for residents of DuPage County, almost 60% are employed outside of DuPage County, the most recent numbers.
Yeah.
70% of the people that work in DuPage County live outside of DuPage County. So those numbers are eye-opening, and that could be a podcast all its own. You know, we could talk about that by itself for a long time. But this concept of regional work, I think, is really the next level for not only DuPage County, but, you know, the larger region. And I know you've done amazing work with the Greater Chicagoland Economic Partnership. We're striving to really integrate workforce into that.
Yeah. And I gave a presentation earlier this week on the state of the economy, if you will, in DuPage. And one of the telling things for me is when you look at the major, and this is kind of a segue to my next question for you, Lisa, when you look at the DuPage County of the 80s and 90s and the big markets where the employment clusters were located, it was professional services, office buildings, what we typically thought of in DuPage County as the 80s and the 90s. It's now wholesale trade. It's now logistics, manufacturing, and transportation. How do you even begin to plan for a workforce development strategy when the economy is changing so quickly here in DuPage?
It's going to take a high degree of collaboration, because if we're trying to attack something of that scope in our silos, right? So economic development is looking at this piece of the puzzle, and I'm looking at this piece over here on the workforce side in the school. The more collaboration that happens, the more information sharing that happens, the better that we can plan and prepare for this. It's going to take a massive reskilling effort. What I find, we started the conversation off about workforce challenges. It seems as though, and I have felt this for a while, that there's a supply and demand issue. We're out of whack there a little bit, in the sense that the supply, being the jobs, are not necessarily aligned with the demand. And if you talk to any young adult, a college student, let's say, that's in a bachelor's level program, what they're looking for or the types of jobs that they're pursuing might not be aligned with where that actual demand is. You know, so we have all of these jobs. I have in front of me here the top, let's say, seven occupations for DuPage County, and it's the most recent data available. We have the top most in-demand occupation for DuPage, food preparation and serving-related occupations, with a mean annual wage of $37,800. The second one, to your point, transportation and material moving occupations, then office and admin support. You have healthcare support within that. Not healthcare as in nursing, but healthcare support.
Sure.
With an annual, you know, median wage of $42,000. So that's where that supply and demand comes into play. How do we fill those jobs? Those are the top ones on the list, the most openings. It's a tricky puzzle.
And that's where, to your point, it's where human nature kicks in, because these are the jobs. These are career opportunities. And that's obviously a challenge. But I want to talk about another challenge, because I think it's got to affect both of your worlds. Transportation. You guys are finding jobs and careers for people. The end of the day, I think that's why we all kind of do what we do. But transportation is a challenge, isn't it?
Transportation is a huge barrier for individuals with disabilities. The majority of the individuals that we work with do not have a driver's license and cannot drive themselves to and from their job. So they rely a lot on family members, their parents. I will say that we're very lucky in DuPage County to have a program called Ride DuPage that's sponsored by the county. That's basically a subsidized program that individuals with disabilities can register through our agency to utilize that program. One of the unique things about the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act program that funds our job training programs is that they offer vouchers and for those supportive services to allow them to get to and from their jobs. But it is a continual barrier that we're constantly addressing and breaking down.
Yes, absolutely. Naturally, as Kristen said, individuals with disabilities, it's a significant barrier. They are not the only individuals that have a barrier in DuPage County. Our public transportation system is not as robust as you would see in the city of Chicago, naturally. So it does become an issue. There are not necessarily a lot of options for somebody who, let's say, has been out of work for a number of times, is trying to put food on their table, is maybe availing themselves of a local food pantry to do that. The car is broken down. They can't afford the repair. How are they to get to that job on time every day? I mentioned earlier about work ethic and dependability. It's really hard to do that if you don't have consistent transportation. So there's not necessarily a program out there that, to my knowledge at least, that really consistently offsets those challenges for people that maybe aren't eligible for the existing programs. I think that there's a gap there that as a community hinders people from obtaining and then retaining employment.
Right. And it's why all of us need to keep an eye on what's happening with our transportation and our service boards. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about another, and maybe this one's a little more for Lisa than Kristen. I've been saying it for years that the new world is a remote world or a hybrid world. And training a workforce for a hybrid work environment or helping people who are out of work in a hybrid environment adds a whole nother level of complexity, I would have to imagine, to your efforts. What are you seeing?
I would say that as far as the hybrid and that, the one trick with that is that it, I think that we're going to over time have a retention issue due to the hybrid work. And what I mean by that is that loyalty to, I think there's two kind of primary issues. One would be that the loyalty to your employer, I'm going to hypothesize that 10 years from now, we will see that people are staying for longer durations of time at their employer because of that distance, because you're not as attached to that group of coworkers and to that environment and that sort of team mentality. I could be wrong on that, but that I'm going to put forth as my hypothesis. I think it's going to affect retention and loyalty. I also think that it is at detriment to young workers. When you come into a workplace and you're working hybrid, you're losing out on so many valuable opportunities to absorb information and knowledge from the sort of seasoned professionals that are part of that workforce. Or I think a lot of companies are asking young workers to work in the office for their first 6 months. If those seasoned professionals aren't there because they're all working remote or hybrid,
why should I bother?
What is the point? I mean, they could learn from each other. There's value in that. But I think it's going to be a bit of a hurdle that when I started my career, that wasn't there. I was a sponge to everything happening around me and made tremendous gains that way. If I was virtual, putting myself in the shoes of, say, a 22, 3, 4-year-old now, it has to be just a completely different feeling, a little bit less supportive.
What other challenges are you seeing right now? What kind of keeps, because I know how passionate you are about workforce development, and it's so comforting to work with someone who cares about workforce development as much as I do about economic development. What are you worried about in terms of the future workforce training needs or gaps?
I could list like about 10 things.
Let's stick with the top three.
All right. I will say I'll speak specifically for DuPage County and maybe even more kind of micro level what we're seeing at the center. It is a challenge for workers that, let's say, are 55 plus. It's taking longer for them to become reemployed. And I think that that's a real problem because they have so much experience, so many skills to offer. And we know there are employers that are saying they can't find enough talent. So whatever the reason is there, I think the quote unquote, and for any listeners, this is not my phrase. This is technically the phrase that's used in legislation, but older workers, 55 plus, the data shows it's taking longer nationally for people to become reemployed. I think that that's a real issue because we know people need to work a lot longer than they perhaps used to, than perhaps even seems fair in a lot of cases. But then you also have the younger adults, let's say 25 or less, that are looking to enter the workforce. The more pressing issue that as it pertains to my job and what bothers me is that I know, as you said, we talk to companies all the time. We know the opportunities that are out there and the opportunities for growth within these companies. Young adults and really adults, period, that aren't in our line of work, I think making sure that this career advising, career planning is more intensive, that it started at a younger age. I have 11 and 13-year-olds, and much to their chagrin, I'm workforce developing them all the time. I got a welding app on one of their phones. Like, you know, it's part of what.
Good for you.
That's because of the work that I do. Mm-hmm. But most people, that's not a thing, you know. Right. So then you have these problems where, yes, we have all these jobs, that supply I referred to. If the demand side of it, if the talent side of it, if the workers don't know or understand what these careers are, what these job titles mean.
Sure.
They look at a job posting. It really is laid out a lot of times in a way that isn't very clear. It's not in like lay people's language, right? So How do we match that up, yeah. and how do we overcome that? I mean, that's a big communications really issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kristen, what about you? What are the challenges that Parents Alliance is facing these days? What would you like to see more of?
I think I would be doing a disservice to my constituents without bringing up the removal of DEI programs by the new administration without being political. My fear is that there might be some backpedaling on all of the progress that we've made. Supported employment for individuals with disabilities first came to fruition in the 80s. And back then it was, you know, hire someone with a disability because it was the right thing to do. And I think that in the past 30, 40 years, we've come a long way. And we have recognized that when you put individuals with disabilities, when you train them, when you give them the right skills, and you put them into a job setting, they thrive, right? The merit-based hiring, I go along with that 100% because our individuals earn their jobs. They prove that they can do the job and they can have a lasting impact on the return on investment for businesses. So there's a part of me that is a little bit fearful. I think DEI was put into place to kind of tap on businesses' shoulders to say, hey, you know, look at these other groups. Right? You're having a hard time hiring, maybe considering looking elsewhere, right? So it was just kind of like a little tap on their shoulder to look at these other pools of candidates. And I would just hate to see that go away, I guess. I think that's, you know, it's going back to one of the benefits of hiring someone with a disability. With the removal of DEI programs, you saw a couple larger companies like Target and Walmart, they immediately pulled their DEI programs and there was an influx on social media. I guess I'm going to be shopping at Costco because they kept their DEI programs and they want to support and welcome all types of people, no matter race, no matter disability, no matter age. So I think, you know, for me, we're all individuals. We all come to the table with our unique talents, whether if it be an individual with autism or Down syndrome or no disability at all. We all have something to contribute to the workforce. When I tell people what I do for a living, the first thing they say to me is like, wow, that sounds really rewarding. And I'm like, yeah, it's rewarding for me, but it's also rewarding to the individual, and it's also rewarding for the business.
And that's
people
what
I see that.
Yes. Yeah, and I've seen it. And I kind of, to be honest, when I first met you, I probably had a little bit of that preconceived notion as well. But when you talk to the business owner and you say, how's it going for you? And that person that we hired from Parents Alliance, best employee I have in this plant, shows up to work every day. Can't wait to be here. It's an absolute slam dunk. How are you in terms of recruiting? I mean, this is a podcast that's reaching thousands of people throughout DuPage County and the region. Yeah. How are you in terms of recruiting new businesses and getting new businesses to participate in your program?
Yeah, you know, we are partnering with a lot of different industries. We had a manufacturing company come to us. You know, we partner with Waubonsie Community College, the College of DuPage, all of the business services unit to refer them to us. You know, going back to the challenges, we target those high turnover entry level positions. You know why? Because no one wants to do them. Or they get people who do those jobs, and then they move on within the company, or they leave for a higher paying salary. So that works to our benefit. So when we're meeting with these companies and the businesses, we are targeting those high turnover positions so that we can help those businesses save money on posting a job, interviewing, going through resumes, onboarding. Think about the dollars that they spend on training and onboarding. Like I said earlier, 9 times out of 10, when we have partnered with over 500 businesses, and all of them come back to us anytime that they have a job opening. 70% of the job market is hidden. It's because businesses want to do business with people that they know and trust. And so when they work with Parents Alliance Employment Project, they know that they can trust us. They know that when they have the demand, we have the supply of workers that we can put into those positions that will not leave them, will be reliable, and provide that slam dunk, like you said, Greg.
Really, really, really well said. And Lisa, maybe a closing comment from you on, you know, why should the population care about the efforts that you're providing and the work that you're doing? How does it impact the daily life of a DuPage County resident with respect to WorkNet?
So on a personal level, on a human level, the work that we do affects not only that individual, but their family. And that the ripples of that go who knows how far, because we work with people who come to us oftentimes at a real low point. And that is not just necessarily dependent on their income bracket. The people that come to us need assistance. By helping them get what they need to re-enter the workforce, whether it's in a comparable job or whether it's starting a career where they're making more money than they've ever made before, it's impacting that individual. It's impacting their family. It's giving them a better life, quite frankly. And as DuPage County, that's a big part of what we as a community pride ourselves on. So in that regard, it is, like Kristen said earlier, it's the right thing to do. From an economic standpoint, each one of those workers is then going out with increased earning potential. There's increased tax base and all of these things. So the return on investment for every dollar spent on programming like ours is huge. It's absolutely huge. So it's obviously a key element for a whole host of reasons.
Fantastic. So that's it for today's show. Lisa and Kristen, thanks for joining me. Before we close, how can people learn more about each of your organizations? Here's your opportunity to reach our audience and tell them how they can get involved. Kristen, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you can reach us at our website, www.parents-alliance.org.
And you can reach us at our website, which is www.worknetdupage.org. You can also come and visit us in person at 2525 Cabot Drive in Lyle. And I would encourage listeners to check out our social media feeds, where we love to showcase a lot of these success stories that, similar to what I mentioned here, that's really what paints the picture of the work that we do.
So again, thanks for joining us. And as always, thank you to the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with us on what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.